Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome to the Wise Men Say preview show, and we are looking today at the visit to the Stadium of Light of Bristol City. I am Richard Easterbrook, no Matt tonight, but I'm joined instead by Gareth Barker and Eleanor McCabe. Hello, how are you doing?
Hello, Richard.
You can't introduce two people together. Cause
yeah, I know.
I like
both
doing
just
it. It's
kind of sat there like, who's going to go first?
I've done it with three people before. It's just, that's the way I roll. Instead of going around the houses, just go all speak at the same time or leave a huge 5 second gap, then speak all at the same time.
Yeah, to be fair, with like, because obviously WrestleMania's this weekend, so it's a bit like a Royal Rumble, isn't it?
Obviously.
Everyone, yeah. Obviously, yeah. Who doesn't obviously, know that WrestleMania's yeah. this weekend? But it's like a Royal Rumble, everyone coming in, fighting. Yeah, it's good.
Well, instead of everybody coming in, it was everybody going out on a bank holiday Monday. Gareth, you haven't spoke about this. Well, you have spoke about it, but you haven't spoke about it in a podcast format. How long into the game did you leave it before?
I considered leaving when the third one went in, because it was only on 47 minutes. I thought, well, you know. And then when the fourth one went in, it was like, right, that's me. Bye-bye. I don't really care if anyone's like judgy about it, because ultimately, I mean, if we're going to get into it, football fans are treated more and more like customers, consuming a product rather than it being an activity that's a community activity. From a product perspective, it's been severely lacking this season, so don't really think I owe them anything in terms of sitting there and kind of enduring more, because obviously the product is faulty.
Yeah.
Trading
standards would have a field day.
Yeah.
I didn't go on Monday. I was planning my day, because I was working. I was planning my day around taking a 2 to 3 hour gap to go to the match. So I got to work. I started work quite early and rattled through everything, and then got to about 1 o'clock, and I thought I best think about leaving. And I went to let the dogs out, and it was absolutely freezing outside, and it was raining. And I just thought, nah. And luckily, like my spidey senses were spot on, because I managed to have it on the TV, and it was I wasn't regretting it at all. But I think I probably would have only stayed for an hour anyway before getting back to work. So I probably, I'd have been storming out at half time.
It's like what we said a couple of weeks ago, like when I was last on with Gareth. The issue is you've got nothing that on a grey drizzly day makes you want to go to the match. There's nothing kind of like pulling you out the door to get you to want to do that, because ultimately, apart from Callum Stiles, obviously, who I absolutely adore, there is
Eleanor's Callum Stiles.
I know. I'm just going to brush over that one and pretend it didn't happen. Yeah. Luckily, it wasn't recorded or put out on any public platforms, so it's absolutely fine. When I watched the match back, I don't even want to talk about that. But
you watched the match back, did you?
You watched it back.
That's very professional.
When I say watch the match back, I watched bits and pieces and highlights. And well, when I say highlights, but when I've watched bits and pieces, every single bit I watch, Callum Stiles is just absolutely dreadful. The issue is there's nothing that makes you kind of want to go out and support them at the moment. And do you know what? Fair play to the people who went to the open training session during the week. Because, I mean, I guess it's nice going to the Stadium of Light and knowing that you're not going to see them lose. But apart from that, I don't know how they did it. I wouldn't have been able to drag myself out, especially in that weather, like just not the one.
That's the
I
bit
think I
where
was.
all the players from the late 80s who were played under Laurie McMenemy like tee up the we beat ourselves in training anecdote that everybody's heard 500 times at every talk-in that's ever occurred.
I think the training
Interesting.
thing was obviously just for show, wasn't it? Because not for show, as in like they were actually training, but
Well, was an illusion.
the purpose of it was for mainly for kids. I don't think there was any grown adults going to that unless they had a brace of children with them, or you know, three children or four children. But
What
I
else?
think
The
it
only
just
one I
seemed
remember one.
well, you it just seemed to be it seemed to me just be like a glorified autograph session.
That's fine,
A
though, isn't
little,
it?
yeah, that's fine,
Good
and there
thing
should be
to
more
do
stuff
on
like that.
Easter, yeah.
It maybe charging adults for it isn't the greatest move, but
Were adults charged for it?
they were
Wow.
Oh.
£5 a pop.
Ooh.
Wow. Okay.
£5 a
£5 a pop,
pop,
kids go free.
But
So.
were kids allowed in without an adult?
I'm not sure, actually.
I don't think they were, no.
So basically, you had to pay to go, effectively.
Well, somebody did, yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I went on like years ago when during I think it was during the Premier League relegation season, and it was the mood around the club wasn't great, but there was like loads there. I think you do stuff like this during half terms and Easter holidays and stuff. You do get loads of people through, and those people won't remember if the kids anyway. They won't remember the football that was on offer or you know stuff that happened in training. It's just a chance to kind of get up close to your heroes and to Callum Stiles and you know to
That's the only reason I went down, like.
Callum Stiles, can I have your shirt? I hate that, by the way. I can get in the bin. But yeah, as Gareth says, it's an opportunity to go at the stadium and not see us lose, which for me back in what 2017 was quite welcome.
Mean, our home
So
form has been reasonably decent this year up until sort of all the wheels. I mean, because the wheels didn't just, it's not like the wheels came off everywhere and then we started losing at home. It was just like a complete collapse of the vehicle with wheels like a film like a film from like the 1940s, like terrible
yeah, a
comedy,
clown
black and white
car.
comedy film where like a bloke gets in and he's like scratching his head. So that sets off the car and like all the wheels come off and that, and there's like
And they go off the edge of a cliff, and
yeah,
it's
like the
just.
steering wheel comes off and his hands and that, and he's like doing that. That's basically our season.
He like
Like a
hovers over, he
Buster
keeps
Keaton
going.
film. Yeah, and the
Yeah,
black and
hovers
white's
over and then
appropriate
just
to
dropped.
the black and white obviously is appropriate considering we decorate our stadium in it for part of the season. So yeah.
Just to get
Yes.
that dig back in there,
But
isn't it?
can I just say, just for balance, I think that was a really good idea.
Yes, it was for balance. Also for balance, it was excellent on Monday. And I stayed for the not just for the full match, I stayed afterwards as well to see them
Hey,
mowing the grass afterwards.
you actually quit your job and went to the match, didn't
Yeah,
you?
went to
Balance.
the match, yeah.
Yeah.
For balance, yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, I tried to say positives on Monday.
Yeah.
I tried to be
Yeah.
balanced. And
Yeah.
look what this is what
Yeah.
happens when you
It
force us
happened,
out of
yeah.
our comfort zone
Yeah.
of being negative.
Yeah.
This is what happens. We make
Yeah.
wildly inaccurate statements.
For balance,
Yeah, just
kids should.
grasping for
Yeah.
positives.
For balance, kids should actually take cook. No, wait, actually, no, not. We're not going that far. Continue to
So
say
we've,
no. Continue to say no.
yes, say
Or
no
for
and
balance,
still
say
say
yes.
no. Yeah. Right.
Anyway, shall we talk
Bristol.
about it? Yeah, just preview the match.
Are we gonna
Brilliant.
chat about Steve Davison?
Oh, yeah, we should do,
Just
yeah.
before we talk about Bristol.
Yeah, obviously it's been announced this week that Steve Davison will leave his post as Chief Operating Officer at the end of the season. We'd like to play us on. No, sorry, that's not my job to say that. But obviously, there's been a lot of talk about his position within the clubs ever since the aforementioned Black Cats Bar saga. It's clear he's obviously a dedicated man to his job, and I think he's probably carried the can for quite a lot of the club collective mistakes. But speaking openly, I think he seems to have been the one that's taken the blame for everything. So would you agree with that, Gareth?
I think it's difficult to say, isn't it? Because I think when things are going well, generally the off the pitch stuff isn't looked scrutinized too much. I think there has been some criticism of him in respect of that is kind of comments at the Red and White Army meeting, but there's two facets to it. It's like, well, if his hands are tied, that's rubbish for him. But ultimately, in the corporate world, if you take on that position, you're the and you're job is to do those things and you get paid the salary for that job, that is ultimately part of it. So delivering the vision, the strategic business vision, it's like that kind of sort of corporate stuff, isn't it? So I guess, if he was in a scenario in which he took that position on and he was unaware of what he was getting into, I do have more sympathy for him. But they've been paid pretty well for the job that he's done for a few years. And, these positions tend to rotate quite frequently. So, and then when things tend to go wrong, these people tend to be, not first under the bus, but certainly the worse it gets, the closer to the wheels they get. So, I think that's kind of what's happened. I wouldn't be surprised if it kind of feels a little bit again, and this isn't trying to be overtly negative and conspiratorial, but it kind of feels a little bit at the moment we're kind of like holding certain information back to deliver at certain points in case we need it. It's like having ammunition up your sleeves, kind of not deflect, but kind of like placate. So obviously we are on a dreadful run of form, so they couldn't like put out the season ticket information, and then on the day they're like, oh, let's say, yeah, let's announce all the stadium improvements, and then we put the. They could have waited a couple of days. Do you know what I mean? To make it seem less cynical, and then obviously, I losing 5-1 at home to Blackburn, a team who've won 1-18, haven't won away from home in 4 months. It's a bit like, oh well, oh the guy who, yeah, we're getting rid of this guy now, bye, sort of thing. So, I mean, it could be completely wrong for balance. But it just kind of feels like a little bit like that. I
I
don't know
think
if I'm reading too much into things
yeah,
and.
I think as well, like with the reaction to the meeting minutes being published, fans weren't happy with kind of, or at least what I saw on X, fans didn't seem too happy with the kind of there's been an investigation done and that's been dealt with and that's the end of the matter. And I think that, well, I don't know, but it wouldn't surprise me because we've seen these lot do it before, where they react to kind of fans' reaction, and it wouldn't surprise me if this was a bit of a. I'm not saying it hasn't been coming, I'm not saying that it wasn't something they decided already, but if kind of the timing of this to coincide with the investigation being done, it wouldn't surprise me if it wasn't kind of right, okay, here's your man then, here's who we're gonna put blame on this for. Whether or not that blame is correctly laid.
I mean, it's your job. It's your job, isn't it? To take the hits, I guess, as well. That's part of it. So I'm sure he wasn't naive enough to think that should things be perceived as being not done correctly, that he wouldn't be the person pushed forward to take the brunt of that. So we've seen this. If you look at over the years. People in those positions, Martin Bain, Margaret Byrne, as soon as it kind of turns, obviously they're the the person who has to answer the questions.
Yeah.
And if they haven't got good enough answers, whether they're being given the ammunition to answer properly or not is kind of irrelevant in a way. It's just part and parcel of the job, as crap as it is.
Yeah. He replaced Jim Rodwell, so...
Well, him, yeah, I remember him.
So I'm not sure what state the office was left in, but...
James Rodwell.
Yeah, but I think collectively... Did Steve Davison come in before the new ownership group? I think he did, didn't he? So he would have kind of overseen pretty tumultuous time. No, he didn't, did he? Because he came in during COVID.
No, I think he came in, yeah.
So he's you know, he has overseen a tumultuous time in different divisions with different kind of challenges provided. Maybe he's decided himself that he's had enough of working in football. Does sound to be a little bit of a... It sounds to be like a terrible corporate job with the added kind of distraction of, you know, thousands of eyes on every move that you make and everything that you do. It must be, you know, it's a pretty unique situation. But yeah, we wish him well. We'll take
come
a break.
Back, come back stronger.
Come back stronger, Steve. Muscle emoji.
Muscle emoji.
We will take a break, and when we come back after that, we'll talk about the visit of Bristol City.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Welcome back to the Wise Men Say podcast preview show, where we have Bristol City coming to the Stadium of Light on Saturday. Bristol City in a rich vein of form at the moment, haven't won three in the last four games, including two wins over the bank holiday weekend. Leicester City, they beat on Good Friday, and Plymouth, they beat on Bank Holiday Monday, which brought an end to the tenure of whoever Plymouth
man
is. Just a man.
Foster. I think where did they get him from? Was he at Notts County or something? Was that him?
No, that's
somebody else.
The fella that's gone to Swansea.
Ian McWilliams. Foster, football coach.
I have no Ooh, idea, but. But in charge
it looks
of Bristol
like,
City, it's, go on.
Sorry, it looks like he was involved at
community level.
Yeah, I helped create and optimize a winning high-performance culture for the players and wider team at St. George's Park. I wonder, well, he's available. He's dangerously available, once you said, Richard. So, that first line of LinkedIn, I'm telling you now,
Speakman's already been on there.
Speakman is on there, and he is adding him.
That's he's hitting the algorithm,
he's
isn't
adding,
it? That's people you may know.
LinkedIn. He's adding him on Insta.
Yeah.
He's liking his stories.
Who did I say was dangerously available?
He's sending fire reacts to all his stories.
Yeah.
Carl Robinson. Yeah.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether it was that or Gareth Haynes.
Where's he assistant manager at now? Isn't he assistant manager somewhere? Carl Robinson.
He was. He's a Premier League or...
I think he is.
Let's find out. Welcome to the Wise Men Say podcast. What managers are doing
welcome
now?
Back. Yeah, what managers are doing? It's better than the football, let's be honest.
Is it Salford?
No, he's the head coach of Salford.
It's all right.
Gary Neville, Salford.
I mean, I do
they're
feel
near the,
for him.
They're right near the bottom of the league, I think. Sorry, carry on, Eleanor.
His Wikipedia picture is potentially up there with one of the worst I've seen. It's just, it's not obviously for a purely audio medium, this is not good.
Oh
But go
dear.
to go to
Yeah.
go to Carl
How does
Robinson's
that look?
Wikipedia. Have a look at Carl Robinson's Wikipedia. Pause the podcast, open your laptop, type in Carl Robinson on Wikipedia. Because
It's like one
that's
of those caption this, isn't it?
yeah, it
Kind of
really is.
photos, lol banter captured this.
When he was manager of Milton Keynes Dons in 2013,
13,
is
yeah.
when that photo was taken.
He's from Ray. He was born in Rainhill, which of course isn't a real place.
In September 1980, if we just are we just turning this into the Carl Robinson podcast?
Yeah. Well, he's already got one, hasn't
Well,
he? So, what was that called
yeah.
again? Anyway, shall we talk
I
about
remember he did.
sorry.
He did that one with Paul. Paul won. Where's he now? He's at
Paul
Derby.
Warren,
But not.
he's gonna get them promoted, isn't he? That's
Yeah,
like
no, it was really
they
good
beat
that put. So it
Portsmouth
was.
in the week.
I thought
So
they did. They not
big
draw to
result.
Portsmouth.
Did they? I thought they beat them. They were 2-1 up when I last looked, so I'm assuming they won, but
Oh,
maybe they
I thought.
didn't.
Yeah, maybe I saw it when it was 1-1.
Do you mention Portsmouth now?
God.
We
Okay.
do. I think
Let's not do this.
it's
Oh,
is it
it
John
ended
Mousinho?
2-2.
Did it?
It
Is it
ended
John
2-2.
Mousinho manages Portsmouth?
I mean,
Oh, were they after Mourinho and then just like
Yeah, John
put them
Mousinho. Was
and they're
Mousinho, is
getting
that who you?
Mousinho. Something we would do.
We've
But
got
no.
Mousinho, John Mousinho, English Football Manager. This is good, isn't it?
Hey, this is
But
hot
in charge of
press, this.
37-year-old. 37-year-old. What
In
do you know what we should
charge.
do? Well,
Where
should we
was he
just
born,
not talk
Gareth?
about Bristol?
Yeah,
One of the
Gareth
lads,
Bond, where was
any of
he
the
born?
let's see, I can't find his wiki.
This
Anyway,
is
keep talking.
excellent
It is
podcasting.
actually
Keep
excellent
talking.
podcasting. What we should do is right. Okay. Anyone who's listened to the pod who writes for the website, what I want you to do is go away, go to every football manager in the 72, see if they've got a LinkedIn, find every recently sacked manager, sorry, from the 72.
This is so much work.
And then take the first line of the LinkedIn profile and find out if see if see which is the most speakman worthy manager. I mean, Ian Foster's going to take some beating, let's be honest.
Yeah, I think
And he is
directly
coming.
referenced to high performance culture.
Yeah, he is coming in the summer, Ian Foster.
You could come now if
So,
you wanted.
I mean, he probably couldn't he? What's Paul Heckingbottom's LinkedIn like? You talk about Bristol City, I'll find Paul Heckingbottom's LinkedIn.
You should run this as a competition, Gareth. Whoever can find the most Christine Speakman
Just
first line of
no.
LinkedIn and tweet it at Wise Men Say Pod.
I'm laughing.
Gareth will
I
buy you
was
a pint.
no, I won't. I'm laughing because the second search in Paul Heckingbottom's Google is Paul Heckingbottom wife. Why is somebody going, I wonder
Who
what
is
Paul
Paul? Who
Heckingbottom's
is
wife?
Paul Heckingbottom's wife? Is
Well,
she
maybe that's
famous?
why. I don't
It's John
know.
Mousinho.
Yeah.
I was once on John Carver's LinkedIn page. I can't remember why, but on there he boasts about being proficient in Microsoft Word, which I thought was really funny. Like,
Paul
it's waiting for a
Heckingbottom's
manager to take a
wife
chance on him.
is called Claire Heckingbottom, and bless her, the only news article about her is when she appeared at Sheffield Magistrates Court alongside him after he was banned from driving. And that is in the Sheffield Star, is it? Yeah, the
Yeah.
Star. There
He
we
hasn't
go.
grown. He hasn't
Are
updated
we?
his LinkedIn since he got sacked from Hibernian.
Really not.
Evil Ian Hart is one of his connections. Let's see. And Rafa Benitez. But yeah, it's a bit boring actually, so he's not gonna get the job.
Yeah, I guess that would be part of
So
the recruitment process, is to.
yeah, that's it.
What's the
See him
first line
planned
of Lee
somewhere.
Johnson's?
Oh
Oh, God.
God, I think we've gone down a rabbit hole here and people are going to be absolutely fuming about it. But do you know what? I
Well,
don't give a shit.
for a start, Lee Johnson's guaranteed, nailed on to have LinkedIn Premium. Like, he will have.
Shall we find out?
I didn't realize. How do you what extra features does LinkedIn Premium give you? Well, this is an
So I
advert for
don't know.
LinkedIn Premium.
Lee Johnson, second news. No, no, there's two of them.
He's skilled in
Nice.
sports
No.
psychology, football, stroke, soccer, player development, sports management, culture, and leadership.
And he has LinkedIn Premium. Little golden
That
symbol.
that'll
He's
be kind of
damaged.
on the Venn diagram of who Speakman will hire. Have high performance culture in their LinkedIn bio and have LinkedIn Premium. And in that
Yeah.
center kind of bit of the Venn diagram is where you'll find Sunderland AFC's next manager.
Well, actually, what I can
Yeah.
say is I can see why he was picked up because it says a demonstrated history of developing players with over £100 million worth of players developed and sold during tenures at Oldham, Barnsley, Bristol City, Sunderland, and Hibs.
Excellent.
So that was probably the oh yeah, we're getting him in. But for balance, obviously, we don't want to sell any of our players. Yeah.
And Ian Hart is not evil or evil or both. Anyway, shall we talk about Bristol City?
Bristol.
Who
Bristol
is
City are
Bristol City's
managed.
manager?
It's Liam Manning.
Liam Manning. Oh, I
Everyone's
remember him.
favorite, Liam Manning. He's overseen. Well, they've done all right. They're above us in the league. A win on Saturday for us will take us back into 12th. So that's something to play for, isn't it? That's nice. So yeah, they've won 3 and 4-2 on the bounce. It's going to be a pretty stiff test. Obviously, they beat us. Did they beat us last year? They got the first
Oh,
penalty for like 300
that was a
years
last
at the
minute.
stadium, like, was it
Yeah, because
equal?
they
they
were winning
lost their
1-0.
minds, didn't they?
Yeah,
Yeah.
we were winning 1-0, and then I think it was Trey Hume fouled Andreas Wijman, I think it was, and they scored an equaliser. And obviously, we
Yeah.
beat them at their place 3-2. Ella
Yes. They
Sims
hadn't had a
and
penalty for.
Stewart.
Yeah. They hadn't had a penalty for like 3 years before that day. And there was a radio feature on Five Live. Adrian Charles would speak to the guy every week from the supporters club. And they did make a big thing about it, saying, no, we haven't had a penalty yet. And of course, they got it against us. But yeah,
I was listening to Adrian
it's
Charles earlier.
he's good, isn't he?
He is.
I like
He was
Adrian
doing the
Charles.
segment where he asked people what they were mediocre at, and then got them to come on and do the thing they were mediocre at doing, and then just told, obviously because he wanted to be nice, then just told them all that they weren't mediocre. Was like, you're failing at being
Right.
mediocre.
Yeah, he can't even do that right.
Yeah, so it was good. Good listening.
Maybe they should
Unlike
apply for
our
the
rabbit
Sunderland
hole.
manager's job. If they're failing at being mediocre. Fit right
What
in.
changes would you make? I'd imagine it'll be a few, but what changes would you make on Saturday, Gareth?
Oh. I don't know. I mean, is Jack Clarke fit? If he can start him, I'd
Would you
probably
rather
drop.
start him or bring him off the bench?
I'd probably start him. I mean, might as well. And I'd probably drop Patrick Roberts, because he'd looked miles off. Thought it was weird. Barr did okay, I thought, in the Cardiff. It was a bit odd that he got kind of binned. So I'd probably start him and Clark wide. Continue with Job up front, even though he didn't have a great game in on Monday, but who did? And I'd probably stick with the
Callum
same.
Styles.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
did. Yeah, he was outstanding, to be fair, on
Don't think Job really saw much of the ball, did he?
No, they
I mean,
kept him quite quiet.
yeah, I think Anthony Patterson saw a lot of the ball in
Yeah.
behind him.
Picking it out.
Yeah, it's quite funny though. I mean, it wasn't me who pointed this out in the group chat. I can't remember who it was, but it's quite funny to say that we have to play Callum Styles at left back. Because the player we signed on a permanent deal at left back is so bad, that we have to put him on the bench and play Callum Styles at left back. It's
And
quite
thank God we are
incredible
playing Callum
effort. And I
Styles at
mean,
left back.
absolutely.
Yeah,
Absolutely.
we've had a long illustrious history of Callums at left back, so just carrying that on, really.
Carrying the torch.
carrying the Callum torch. Any
Calming
other
the torch,
Calluming?
that way.
Any changes you'd make, Eleanor?
I I mean, the big one, the big question's Elise, isn't it? Like, obviously, he played for the under 21s during the week. He's had that bit of the run out. Dodsy said that there's the possibility of him travelling, didn't he? He mentioned that, I think, earlier in the week that it'd be looked into. And I mean, obviously, it would mean that my beloved Cam Styles would have to be. But then, would it be worth seeing him in midfield and potentially giving kind of because Ekwa, I really felt for him on Monday, didn't have a good game. But yeah, I think I'd be tempted to at least have Elise on the bench, potentially bring him on for a bit of a run out. I'd want to see Riggs starting.
Yeah,
I just
I think you're probably right there.
I think with the run into the end of the season, I don't understand why we wouldn't start him. Like, it's a win-win situation as far as I'm concerned.
Is
And
there an argument to say, sorry to interrupt
no,
on
it's
there, but is
fine.
there an argument to say your Callum Styles probably shouldn't really play at all for the end of
Professional
the
football
season?
ever again?
When you should play Rig, you should. Play, you shouldn't play any of the kind of loan players. You should play Hjalte because even if he's rubbish, at least he's got six more games under his belt.
God, I forgot because Callum Styles is a loan from
Yeah,
Barnsley,
no,
isn't
on
he?
loan from
Any reasons?
Barnsley. Yeah, so do you play like on your point with Rig?
Yeah.
Do you even say, I mean, this might be a controversial point, but do you say, well, what's the point in starting Jack Clarke? Is the
Yeah.
cash cow. So it's like,
But
do
then
you
I guess
just.
the same point, could that also be made for the likes of Dan Neil, for the likes of Patson, who potentially going to go? I mean, but like, genuinely, do
Well,
you put like Nathan Bishop in goal? Like, I'm not
ooh,
undermining, like,
okay.
I'm not saying your point isn't, and you know I am number one in the Anthony Patterson, well, I used to be at number one in the Anthony Patterson fan club, but
Who's number one now? Have you been
I don't
usurped?
know, but just after everything that went on around certain footballers who used to play for, I don't think that I can like fully support him anymore. It's just,
So what
but
about?
do you give
But I just think there's
Nathan
more
Bishop
heat.
a run out?
I just think there's more heat on the Clark transfer, isn't there? There's like not as much heat on the Neil and Patterson one. I think it's nailed on that Jack Clarke will be leaving in the summer. I don't think it's nailed on that Dan Neil and Anthony Patterson will be leaving in the summer.
Yeah, I think Neil will, for what it's worth.
I think, you know, he was responsible for a few of the goals at the weekend, but I think he's been absolutely, I would say arguably he's our player of the season. I
Yeah.
think he's been absolutely outstanding. Obviously, if you took Clarke out of the equation. But again, it's a case of you've got a 22, tw well, how old is he? He's 21, 21-year-old lad, sort of
Yeah.
being asked to be, you know, re referred to by the sporting director as a senior player. And he's in his second season in the championship. It's tough. That's
Has
tough.
anyone
That's a lot
worked
of
it out? Are
responsibility.
we mathematically safe yet? And I'm, by the way, that isn't me going, actually, I think we're going to get
No.
relegated.
I think we're 12 points clear of the drop with six to play. So I think we're pretty much like they'd have to win like five games to get above, like to get above us. So I think we're all right.
So
Yeah,
then
there's no
that.
one really putting runs of form together. So I think we've got a bit of a buffer between us. I mean, there's
Okay.
11 points between us and Huddersfield. I think
Poor
there's a
Huddersfield. I
Well,
like
yeah,
Huddersfield.
you've got to kind of look Watford and well below Watford, probably Swansea right down to Plymouth are all within a chance of going down.
We'll
I think
lose it as
we're
well.
okay.
And it would we're losing some really close away games next season. Like, all pretty much northern teams there. Rotherham, Huddersfield, Sheffield. It's gonna be fun for travelling.
Do you think I think Sheffield might stay up, you know?
They've
Think
got a chance.
Plymouth might be. I think
Huddersfield.
Plymouth might be in danger of going down.
Well, I wouldn't miss them.
No,
No,
but
no offense.
I feel like Sheffield. I think Sheffield Wednesday will be ninth on form since the manager took over. So, yeah, I think they've got a good chance. They're not that
We
far
could,
off. It's quite tight.
yeah.
We could gain a trip to Derby, or to Bolton, Barnsley, Lincoln.
I never want to go to Bolton again, ever.
Lincoln in the playoffs. Yeah, fair play.
Lincoln are in the playoffs. They've won the last five games. So,
wow.
Yeah. They've put a little run together. Nice to look at League One now and then, just to kind of just pick that scab of old wounds.
But, I mean, it's mad when you look at Portsmouth and like how
that looks like they're finally doing it.
I know. It's like it's funny, isn't it? Because you're like, it took us 4 years and it felt like an eternity. I mean, for them, I mean, they're not traditionally a top flight side, but I would say traditionally they're a championship team. Like I always feel like we just used to play them a lot when we've been in the championship. So, and they're a well supported team. You know, they've always got like pretty large attendances, and you know, I know we had that like fake rivalry with them when we were in League One, but I think that was just because we're two reasonably well supported teams who were trying to get out of that league, and it's a hellhole, so you get that kind of friction. But it's interesting to see, you know, finally to do it. It must be like, well, they haven't done it yet, but they've got a good chance. But you know, obviously it'll be when we play them, there'll be no rivalry whatsoever next year. Like, do you know what I mean? It's that funny thing, isn't it? When you're like pitted against each other in that competition where you're both in the same platform trying to achieve the same thing. We won't be.
It's like Rotherham, wasn't it? We always had this like thing with Rotherham, but it was like, oh, you know, they're always the ones that are going for it as well as us. And then we play them in the championship and it's like nothing. It's nothing. Yet they still beat us. You know.
4 points, I think, they took off us this season, haven't they, Rotherham? No, we took a point off them.
Yeah.
We won our first win, and then we drew at their place. I'm thinking of Huddersfield, who've taken 6 points off us this season.
Yeah. Huddersfield have got a little bit of a hex over us in the championship, haven't they?
Yeah.
Huddersfield, annoyingly, for the past two seasons, every single time we've played them has been midweek. So, like, this season and last season, all four times have been a midweek match, which is just really annoying. I don't know why it annoys me so much, but it does annoy me so much that all four Huddersfield matches have been midweek. Sorry, that's my little anger about Huddersfield.
It's like on one side you want to hope for your for like your nearest games to be on a Saturday because it's a nice day out and you know having to travel 5 hours to get to Huddersfield, but at the same time, quite nice to have only like an hour and a half to drive home from. It's not that I do midweek away games anymore because I'm old.
Or weekend ones, really?
Or weekend away. I've only done one away game this season. I've only done Plymouth. Yeah.
I haven't done anything. I've done one. Fair play to you. If you do it going every week, it's insane. Like, we haven't won away from home since Boxing Day, have we?
Oh, no,
not
Cardiff.
Well, we beat Cardiff before that.
Beat them on Friday.
Yeah, before that, it was Boxing
Negative.
Day.
Yeah,
it must be something about Jesus. You know, because we went away on Boxing
Sunderland's
Day.
Resurrection.
We went away on Good
Sunderland's
Friday.
Resurrection.
We got it the wrong way around, didn't we, really, at the weekend?
Yeah, we did a reverse Jesus.
Yeah, we did a reverse Jesus. No.
Is that blasphemy? Jesus.
No. Well, to be honest, the week that's gone on, like with I've seen so many blasphemous.
I'm really
I'm not part of the God Squad by any stretch of the imagination, but you know, there's be people from that sect that'll be having a field day with some of the stuff that was put on social media over the last couple of days.
That Blackburn tweet was
so
really
funny.
Quite amazing.
Yeah.
It looked perfect.
Yeah, it was incredible. They must have used AI for that. Or do you think
it was
Jesus
his face
scoring for Blackburn.
It was even his face, you know, like at the point that picture would be taken after the goal in the celebration, his face was like the right face for that moment. I thought it was like brilliant.
Oh, fair.
Well done.
A little bit of joy.
So we've managed to talk very little about Bristol City. And we are dragging towards the end of this.
We're plodding on until the end of the podcast.
Plodding on, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Predictions. Gareth, how do you see this one turning out?
I think we'll lose 3-1.
Okay. Who's going to get our one?
Don't know.
Callum Styles.
Bill Carr. I don't know. Anthony Patterson.
Oh, imagine.
I would lose.
He'll come up for a corner, score, and then we'll concede 3 goals in the last 4 minutes of added time. No.
Because he hasn't managed to get back to the net, so we concede one. I don't know how that would work, actually, because there'd be the celebrant, but let's just pretend that could happen.
What's your prediction, Eleanor? Not that, I guess.
Yeah, I think we'll draw 2-2.
Okay. Any scorers?
Ross Stewart or no? I think Clark will score one. Just to kind of get his foot back in. And I think, do you know what? Dan Ballard hasn't headed one in a while. I think Dan Ballard will score one with his big daft head. Yeah, that's my prediction.
I don't know how this is going to go. I've got no, you know, Bristol City are doing well, but if we do lose at home again, what's it going to be like? Like, is it going to be complete carnage?
It'll empty. It'll, like, if they score first and go ahead, I think the ground will empty. I really do. I think it, even if at 1-0, and I can't fault anyone for that, because it'll be the doldrums. That's what it'll be.
I think it was quite funny that the well, not funny, it's not very funny, but the fact that the deadline for signing up for the early bird for season ticket holders, that passed, and then we lost 5-1 at home, and people started getting their renewals through by email like not long after the game, you know, still feeling it, and they get an email from the club going, thanks for renewing for another season. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not a conditional act, but I think there's a lot of fans that might have been tempted to cancel that direct debit mandate on the back of that. So if you know, if we lose another one at home, I think anyone who's thinking about getting a season ticket who might not have had a season ticket for a while probably would rethink that decision.
We had what, 35,000 last year? That, like, it was like around that. We're not going to get that again. Like, that's not going to happen.
In terms of, like, the season ticket support, I think COVID played a huge part in it. Not in a negative way. You know, people missed football massively, and the you know, the rigmarole around going to the football, you know, everything about match day, people really missed. And it was like, in many ways, people didn't actually miss the football side of things, but people did actually miss going to the match, and I think that had an effect, and it still had, like, this almost like a halo effect on the last 2-3 seasons of being back into kind of regular football. But there has to be a kind of a mutual acceptance that the football needs to get better. You know, we've had, when we came back, we had you know, we had Lee Johnson, and he liked to play an exciting brand of football. Obviously, Alex Neil had functional football, but it ended in such, you know, such glorious circumstances. Then obviously Tony Mowbray's reign, which was, you know, easily the most enjoyable for a long time. We've not had that recently. I think a lot of fans are kind of losing interest, but I don't think they'll lose interest to the point that they'll not go. That said, there needs to be an improvement.
Is it a case of losing interest? I think people are interested. I think they're just like,
not, yeah, maybe not losing fed, interest, but like,
fed up.
Yeah.
Don't feel up. Like they're being heard. And that's a way to, I guess, kind of not renewing. It's a way to make yourself heard, isn't it?
What is it that we're doing? And I think that's the...
What we're trying to achieve, yeah.
Yeah, what is it that we're trying to achieve? Now? What is the plan? What we're trying to do? And it's just... it seems like we are trying to do one thing, but it's not being, that's not reflected in the comments that is made by the people who are in a position to make comments and
Yeah.
statements on what we're trying to do. So it's a bit, again, it kind of makes you feel a little bit like you're taken for a bit of an idiot at times, because football supporters are the worst Trek customer in the history of the planet, because they're a captive audience that have got an emotional attachment to the thing, and that thing to many people means so much, and they're always, no matter what you do, you're not gonna deter the vast majority of your customer base, because they'll always go because they feel they have to, they want to, and they don't want to be perceived to not be supporting the team.
Yeah.
So it's like they've got re they can push the envelope as far as they like, really, in most cases. There'll still be over 30,000 season ticket renewals, without doubt. So it might not be 35 like Elna says, but I wouldn't be surprised if it's, you're looking at 31, 32. And I think that's a good thing. But also, it needs to be acknowledged that it's all very well coming out and saying, wow, amazing support. 32,000 season tickets. Thanks so much. If you say thank you properly, say thank you by furnishing the side with the players that are required. Say thank you by appointing the manager who you didn't find down the back of the sofa. Do you know what I mean?
Think maybe if the penny's not going to drop soon, it's never going to drop, like for that, and there needs to be significant. I think they've learned harsh lessons this season that although it's laudable to have a young squad. It doesn't really mean anything if you haven't achieved anything with it, and they've learned that this season that any club in the 24 clubs in the championship could put the youngest squad out by just sticking their under 18s into the first team squad. It doesn't mean anything. It shouldn't be something that we're applauding, the fact that we've got the youngest average age. You look at the teams around that, have they won anything? Probably not. So they need to recognize that, and hopefully they have that. You need the experience, you need the nous within the team. It's not just us, a negative podcast that's bleating about that. It's people who
Do you think they're going to?
I'm not sure, but they must understand that it's not going to get them anywhere if they do. If they keep doing it, they may get like approving glances from within the coaching fraternity about our dogmatic approach to sticking with youth. But if it doesn't get you up the league, and also kind of throws you into danger of getting out of the league the wrong way, it's not going to be a success.
Do you know what would be quite interesting statistically? What is the youngest squad to ever be promoted from the championship? And
Yeah.
statistically, what's the average age of a relegated side? I imagine the average age of a relegated side would be quite high, but I wouldn't, in terms of, because you do get a lot of journeymen knocking around and who have passed it, and that feels like that's the bar. It's like, oh God, we've got to avoid that happening, and I agree. But statistics will tell you that the average age of a squad that gets promoted from the championships around 25 and a half, I think it is. So we're, 3.5 years off that. So I'm not saying that should be the aim, but there's a reason why that exists as a stat, and we're not there. So I think you can have a good mixture of the youth and the experience, but we just don't have, the most experienced player in the team. You got Luke O'Nien, then Patrick Roberts, then Jack Clark, really, Dan Ballard probably. So in terms of appearances and age.
Dan Neil, probably.
Well, we sound like that's and Adil Ashish, obviously. But yeah, I think it's a bit of a don't back down, double down situation, isn't it? Where it's like, well, we do have experienced players. What about Adil Rashish? He's experienced. All right
What
then.
about Leon Diaku? He's a striker.
Yeah. What about it? It is very much that, isn't it? It's like, yeah.
Recently,
Very,
Diaku had a
very
baby,
heat.
by the way.
I don't know. I don't follow him.
He had a baby. Well, his partner had a baby. So
Thank
congratulations
well done,
to the
Leon.
Diakus.
To come back stronger, Mrs. Leon.
Yeah, Mrs. Diaku, or she might have taken, they might not have taken his name.
I
I
don't think
don't
they're
know.
married,
They're not
actually.
married, I don't know. Yeah.
No.
Okay. Living in sin.
Well,
Not really.
God,
No,
the
not
squad will have
really.
something to say about that once I finish with Blackburn Rovers' social media team. Move on.
Move on to Leon Diaku. Yeah.
Right, we need to finish this thing because I've
We've
got
gone
better places to
so.
be. We've gone massively off piste massively quickly
The
as well.
lovely little loop.
So
Yeah.
yeah, we'll be back with Eleanor will be back with a reactionary podcast where she
As long as
names
I'm still
another
allowed
terrible
to do
player.
it after Monday.
And she finds someone else to praise incredibly when Laurens de Bock gets man of the match. So, and then Gareth and Cian will be back on Monday. So until then, thank you very much for listening.
Deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.